Welcome back to the McAdoo Studios. Hour number two, Kyle Bailey, now joined by Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. They typically join us every Friday, but we're off tomorrow because I have ne'er-do-well employees around here. So we're off on a Friday. Chris and Will hanging out today. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing quite well.
I'm good. I'm going to be confused now and think it's Friday the rest of the day, and I'm going to say dumb stuff to my wife, and she's going to give me that look.
Yeah, but then you also might just not go to work tomorrow.
I can drink tonight, too.
Yeah, drink tonight, don't work tomorrow, and then just no one tell Will that he did it wrong.
That's right.
Three-day weekend.
Yeah, because he technically did it right. just don't tell him he did it wrong.
Yeah, what's wrong about that?
Nothing. That's the answer about nothing. We had a lot of stuff to talk about, like a lot of stuff.
Well, first we got to talk about you.
No, that's not it. We don't have to do that.
Just when's it happening?
When's what?
When are you taking over John Laser's old job?
Oh, one of John's many old jobs? He's like me. He's a workaholic. I don't know. I think the last show is going to be somewhere in the third week of August, August 26th maybe. So we're looking at.
Okay.
We'll finalize that next week. But a couple more weeks. You know, people have to put up with me for a few more weeks.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Looking forward to it. And I'm going to be that guy that can't stay away from Lane on Saturdays. So I'm going to be driving back six Saturdays or I guess, no, what, five Saturdays and a Friday or four Saturdays, a Thursday, and a Friday?
And a Monday.
Damn, and a Monday. So three Saturdays, a Monday, a Thursday, and a Friday. Is that right?
No, we don't have a Thursday.
Don't have a Thursday. That's right. So that's four Saturdays, a Monday, and a Friday.
There you go.
Man, no one cared about any of that. so that's what I'm going to be doing this fall. Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Yesterday, we find out that Castle Coliseum is now going to be the home of Virginia Tech's Carilion Court. And we've all talked about this a couple of times. Like that's been a topic of conversation in these particular chats. You know, on a handful of occasions, you know, when's that big corporate sponsorship coming along? Well, you know, here's the first one. I think we all agreed, or I know I did, when Whit Babcock took the job, it was only a matter of time before something like this was probably coming. And here it is, 10 years, $5 million, $500,000 per year. I love it, personally. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think Whit did a good job with this. I didn't know about the amount at first. I was like, on paper, yeah, that sounds good. But then I went around and compared it to some others. It's not quite as much money as South Carolina's getting or San Diego State there was one other school I looked at. But all those schools are in bigger markets than Blacksburg, you know. And considering the relatively small market around here and the fact that Virginia Tech finished last in the ACC for 3 years in a row, I think he got a pretty good price.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, you can use that money, you know, obviously half of it's going to endowed scholarships, but part of it is going for Castle Coliseum improvements. So if you really think about it, you're paying for a bunch of courtside seats, which are going to generate revenue.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So we're basically, you know, just for painting a couple of logos on the court, we're getting a free $500,000 a year to play with. So I think it's fantastic.
Especially when you have, I'm going to turn Will loose there, but just something along the lines of you also have now, you know, just short of $1 million worth of cost of attendance money you have to find a way to make up. So $500,000 goes a long way toward doing that, too.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
So some of the things that Chris looked up, remember Virginia Tech is $5 million over 10 years. South Carolina is $6.5 million over 10 years. But it's in a Colonial Life Arena. It seats over 8,000 fans more than Castle. Washington, the Alaska Airline Arena, is $3.5 million over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego State is, I don't know how to pronounce this, Valleja Arena, $6.9 million over 10 years. These are all numbers that are more than Virginia Tech, but these are venues that are probably used for more than just basketball.
Oh, no doubt.
So the visibility is a lot greater throughout the year. Castle Coliseum's, yes, it's used for wrestling and volleyball and things like that, but when it comes to a broadcast large crowd standpoint, it's just some basketball games, and that's it.
That's a good point, too, because UVA is now able to use John Paul Jones for concerts you know, and other big venue or big event venue type of ordeals. And I don't know if they intend to use Castle for that. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I'm not sure if they can or will or whatever.
They used to have concerts in Castle back in the 70s and 80s, didn't they?
Before all those rock stars started getting a little picky about
it. Didn't Dave Matthews? Yeah, Dave Matthews started. He was playing in Blacksburg a lot, but I don't think he's played in Castle. I don't know if it's even feasible. You're right. You know, if the acoustics and stuff would even work, probably not. But I don't know. It's a good start. It's a good stepping stone. And you were wise to point out there that you're talking about. You know, someone might say, "Well, San Diego State got more money." It's San Diego. You know, and they're using that event.
Who knows how many times a year that arena gets used?
Right. You know. So all things considered, here being in a much smaller market, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was a very, very good deal. And this is, And bear in mind, this is not some gift that's being given by Carilion. You know, Carilion expects to get something out of this as well. You know, and they will.
Yeah.
So again, this is not just a donation. Carillion's not the newest, biggest corporate booster. You know, they're getting some marketing out of this. You
sure.
know, a lot of things in return.
And naming rights are worth more these days, I think, than they used to be because of how many times teams are on television. I mean, pretty much every single Virginia Tech game this year is going to be on some form of television, even the non-conference games that are just on ESPN3.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's going to pop up Virginia Tech versus whoever in Virginia Tech Carilion Court at Castle Coliseum.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you want to play conspiracy theorist, Carilion paid that much because they know there's going to be an ACC network going to 90 million homes.
Yeah. Yeah. And every time Virginia Tech basketball is on TV, be it an ESPN game or even a Raycom game or whatever, as you just said, it's going to be called that the entire time the game's televised. You'll see, you know, VTC, Carilion on the floor. I mean, there's a lot that comes with this. And so I think it's a wise move. So then the next question, obviously, is I was asked yesterday by fans, when does the same thing happen at Lane Stadium, right? That's what everyone wants to know. When are they going to do this for Lane Stadium? Well, I don't know, and I don't think folks should expect it, you know, immediately.
Nah. Witt said in your buddy Mark Berman's article, I think Witt said he is not actively pursuing naming rights for Lane Stadium and English Field. If it comes along and drops in his lap, so of course he'll take it. We'll see about that. I mean, I take Witt at his word, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that's he's very careful in choosing the words that he offers.
There's a reason he doesn't go on Tech Talk Live every Monday night, because he knows the more he opens his mouth, he'll eventually make a mistake.
And eventually tip his cap about something that he doesn't want to tip his cap about.
Right, absolutely.
And, you know, Jim Weaver used to love to do that, to go on to Tech Talk Live and, you know, kind of drop hints about stuff. Witt doesn't he's not really into that. You know,
and having said that, Jim was very dry and controlled most of the time when he was on the air with Tech Talk Live.
Mm-hmm.
So he was careful.
Yeah, he was. And Witt may not be actively pursuing that right now, but I would say there are suitors.
Yeah.
You know, and there are proposals, you know, and there are ideas, and there are, you know, numbers being, you know, just tossed around over a, you know, bottle of Jack or, you know, maybe just a little pizza. And I'm not saying that it's all about the backroom bourbon deals. I'm just like, these conversations have come up.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And you wonder, like, what could Lane Stadium fetch for naming rights?
Well, you know, it would be tougher to do for Lane Stadium because it's already named Warsham Field.
Yes.
So I don't know how exactly that they could phrase that. Who would be willing to pay for it?
I think
they could get about $1 million per year for Lane Stadium.
You would think.
From what I was researching today, some similar contracts for other teams, I think they'd get around $1 million a year.
Now, from a naming standpoint, one that's easier is English Field, because it can become something-something park. You know, English Field at something-something park.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's kind of a natural there.
Yeah.
If you can make that happen.
And things begin to get wordy, you know, but if you can make it sound good, no one really cares, honestly. You know, it's always going to be Lane, you know, to those of us just speaking, you know, colloquially. If you're just having a conversation, it's going to be Lane. But when it comes to naming rights, I mean, you can call it whatever you want to,
sure.
Honestly.
I think the most you can go is three levels deep. Isn't UVA something like the George, like the something-something field in Scott Stadium at the George Welsh Athletic Complex?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Is three deep all you can go?
You can probably go deeper than that.
I
think three is all.
It just hasn't been done yet.
I thought you were referencing like a rule. I was like, who took the time to write that rule?
Someday somebody's going to buy naming rights for planet Earth, and they're going to be last in all of this.
It'll be Coca-Cola. They're buying up all the water right now. I got Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com joining us here in the McAdoo studios. It was a good move. I liked it, and I think you'll continue to see more things like this happen simply because it's all about revenue, finding new revenue streams. And it's always been about that, right? But especially now, with so much more to pay for.
We were in the office yesterday, and Will phrased it pretty well. He said, being an athletic director, you have to be more than a money manager. These days, you have to be a money generator.
Well, and you've got to be careful with that, though. Who would the guy that was it Dave Brandon that was just fired as Michigan's athletic director? I think he was the CEO at like Domino's before he was brought into Michigan to run that. I mean, you're right. You've got to be a money generator too, but
you've got to
have the right guy there.
Right. You've got to have a good businessman, but he can't just be so totally out of place.
Right.
You know, like a guy like Dave Brandon was, or the guy that at Texas right now. I forget his name, but he's ticking everybody off.
Oh, so Steve Patterson?
Yeah, he used to be an NBA GM.
Yes. For the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
Because that's right. You and I have read the same article, the Oregonian, when Shaka took the job, where that columnist just took Steve Patterson to task.
Oh, he's charging people to walk on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be class reunions would come back and, you know, 30 or 40 people would be out on the field or something like that. And now he's actually charging them, what, like $50 to a person to do that? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
So if you want to have a reunion of 10 or 15 teammates, each one of them has to pay $50 to be introduced during a break between the first and second quarter?
It's not like Texas doesn't have any money here. You know, it's not like
they're annually top five in revenue, for goodness sake.
I know.
But when you promise all of your scholarship athletes $10,000 cost of attendance stipends, I guess you got to back it up somehow, right?
Wow.
He was the guy that did that. Yeah. Those, and, of course, we find out Alabama's going to have the highest cost of attendance stipend out there, which just continues to blow my mind. That Tuscaloosa, Alabama is so expensive that, you know, it justifies a $5,300 stipend for out-of-state students, you know, and $42 for in-state students. I mean, I didn't realize the cost of living in Tuscaloosa was just that insane.
Apparently it is, man.
Evidently, it's just crazy.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
It's like Miami down there. You know, you just can't find any property at a reasonable price.
I don't understand how Boston College is like $1,500.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
And Alabama's is $5,000. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. But
I know they're supposedly based on federal rates and stuff like that, but you can't tell me there's not some number fudging going on.
No, and then Georgia Tech was somewhere around 2,000.
Virginia Tech, they originally expected to be around 2,500, but it turned out to be, what, 3,500 for out-of-state and maybe a couple hundred less for
I think it's 32 for in-state and 36 for out-of-state.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, because the original projected number, you're right, was somewhere in the neighborhood of 25, but it ended up going higher than that.
Yeah.
So, and that's the problem. You know, I've talked to some of these the financial aid folks and the compliance folks, and they're like, look, man, this is what it is. You know, if you, because this is not being checked by the Federal Department of Education. It's not being, there's some threats out there that we might bring some people in to audit you on this. But no, all you have to do is say, we'd really like for our guys to have top of the line MacBook Pros. And that's, you know, we think they need that. So, you know, we're going to plug that in and use that as a part of the calculation here. And boom, bam, boom, $4,000.
Obviously, you don't have to use that money to buy top of the line MacBook Pro.
No, but we'd like you to have it. Yeah, so here's the money in case you do decide.
In case you
want
it. Yeah, exactly.
It's shady. It's really shady. All right, let's take a break. Still a whole lot more to get to. Roster movement, college game day, all sorts of stuff to talk about with Chris Coleman and Will Stewart of TechSideline.com. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.